be together with God's people, to read from His Word and hear His instruction and His wisdom for our lives, to give Him due His name. God is good. Our lesson to begin this morning is titled, "This Time I Will Praise the Lord." These are the words of Leah, the wife of Jacob. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Genesis 29, we're going to spend most of our time there for this lesson. Much of these verses will be on the screen, but not all of them. So if you have the ability to, I would encourage you to turn along and read with us. Genesis 29 puts us right in the middle of Jacob's life story. Jacob is the third generation patriarch of God's chosen family, through whom God is going to bless the whole world. And we'll catch up on the details of Jacob's story in just a second. But what we're going to find is that the family life of God's chosen people was nearly disastrous time and again. We talk about the people of Israel. This is what Jacob's name is changed to later in his life, the Israelites, the holy chosen people of God. And we think those must be the highest standard for what godly people ought to look like. But the more that we read about the family life, especially of Jacob, we realize that God called people who were far, far from perfect. And even though their lives were messy and sinful at times, God was able to work His purposes and bring about the blessing that all of us share in Christ. We thank Him for that. Before we get into Leah and her struggle in her life, what we're going to find is that her life was not at all what she might have planned it to be. I think all of us, when we're young, we imagine what our life is going to be like when we get older. I wonder what that was like for you. You can just think about that for a second. When you were young, what did you imagine your life would be like? Where did you think you were going to be when you were a grown-up? Married or have kids or have a certain job? Until I was, maybe 10 or 11, I was set. I was going to be a paleontologist. I was going to dig up dinosaur bones for a living. Because dinosaurs are cool. And, you know, what higher purpose could you find in life than spending your time and money digging up dinosaur bones? I think I can safely say for better, my plans had changed between age 10 and where I am now. But I had an idea when I was young that this is what I want my life to look like. And if my life has these things, if I am in this station of life, then I'll be set. I'll be living the dream. And I think all of us, when we're young, and maybe when we're not even young anymore, but throughout our lives, we chase the dream. We say, if my life is like this, then I'll be happy. I'll be fulfilled. Like that's what I want it to be. And sometimes it's not as disastrous as we find Leah in Genesis 29. Sometimes it is. And we get to a point in our life where we say, this is not at all what I thought life would be like. This is not what I had planned when I was young. When we find Leah in the account in Genesis, she's an afterthought to Jacob and Rachel's story. And in Genesis 29, Jacob is running away from home. He's sent away by his parents because he's cheated his brother Esau out of both his birthright and his blessing. Jacob has deceived and cheated his way to the top, and his older brother Esau has said, I'm going to kill him. Whenever dad passes away, I'm going to get rid of this guy. I can't have this anymore. Jacob's afraid for his life because Esau's the kind of man that means those sorts of things when he says it. And so his parents send him away. They say, you go back and you find a wife. You know, run away while Esau cools off, and then you can come back, you know, in good time. They want him to find a good wife from their people. And so when Jacob comes back to the land of the east, he finds just the sort of woman he was looking for. Read with me here in Genesis 29. Look at the beginning of the chapter with me. It says, Jacob went on his journey, and he came to the land of the people of the east. And as he looked, he saw a well in the field, and three flocks of sheep lying beside it. For out of that well the flocks were watered, and the stone on the well's mouth was large. And all the flocks were gathered there, and the shepherds would roll the stone from the mouth of the well and water their sheep, and they'd put the stone back in its place to cover up the mouth of the well. And Jacob comes and he asks them, you know, do you know my relatives? Do you know Laban, my uncle? I've been looking for him. And they say, yeah, we know Laban. He lives around here. Look at verse 9 with me. While Jacob was still speaking with the shepherds, Rachel came from her father's sheep, and she was a shepherdess. Now, as soon as Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, Jacob came near, and he rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and he watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel, and he wept aloud. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's kinsman. She was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. As soon as Laban heard the news about Jacob, his sister's son, he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him into the house. He said, surely you are my bone and my flesh. And he stayed with them for a month. This is, Jacob and Rachel is one of the most captivating love stories that we read about in the Bible. You can imagine this scene where they've got this huge stone rolled over the well. And usually multiple shepherds will come and they roll it over to make room so that the flocks can get water. But when Jacob sees Rachel, he's like, I've got to show off for this woman, like immediately. And so he moves the stone by himself. I don't know how many of you men have been on a first date and you do something to try and impress the girl. It's like, something dangerous, you know, something daring. It's like, I've got to impress her. And that's what Jacob does. And then he immediately moves in and he kisses her and he says, this is exactly what I've been looking for. And Laban is also just elated to hear the news. He says, this is perfect. This is just the kind of person I've been looking for to marry my daughter. But look at what continues to happen in verse 15. Laban said to Jacob, because you're my kinsman, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me what should be the wages of your work. Verse 16. Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. Jacob loved Rachel. He said, I will serve you for 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. Laban said, it's better that I give her to you than I should give her to any other man. Stay with me. Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. It seemed to him but a few days because of the love that he had for her. I mean, you could just get carried away in Genesis 29. It's just beautiful. He says, this is what I want. And you don't have to pay me so much as just let me marry Rachel. And Laban's like, I wouldn't give her to anybody else. You are just the man. It's like, everything is just falling into place perfectly, and he says he's going to work 7 years, but of course those 7 years are just like a few days to him. It's like he's just head over heels for Rachel, and everything is just working out perfectly. But did you catch in verse 17? Laban has two daughters, and she's almost just an afterthought in this chapter. Leah has weak eyes, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. Who could remember Leah when Rachel is her younger sister? Everybody notices Rachel. She's the beautiful daughter. Who is Leah at all? Jacob had spent most of his life until this point lying and deceiving and cheating his way to the top. But whenever he met Laban, his uncle, he met his equal. Because Laban was about to lie and cheat and deceive Jacob into a lot of trouble. And so it happens that after 7 years of labor, waiting to marry Rachel, whom he loves with all his heart, they have the wedding feast, they say the vows, but when Jacob wakes up in the morning, behold, he's not married to Rachel. He didn't say the vows to Rachel. He's married Leah instead. And he's, of course, very angry at Laban. He says in verse 25, "What have you done to me?" Laban says, "Well, it's not our custom to marry the younger daughter first. You have to understand, Jacob." And you might wonder what exactly Laban's getting at here. Is he just trying to cheat Jacob out of more free labor? Is he trying to watch out for Leah? Does he think this might be Leah's best chance to get married? Whatever it might be, he cheats Jacob. And Jacob says, "Well, I'll work another 7 years if I get to marry Rachel." And of course, Laban is just fine with that. 14 years of labor for free, no problem at all. But look at what it says here in verse 30. "Jacob went into Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah. He served Laban for another 7 years." Twice the passage has said that Jacob loves Rachel, and here it tells us that he loves Rachel more than he loves Leah. And Jacob's married these two sisters, and I think we need to be clear at this point. Just because Jacob marries two women does not mean that that is approved by God. Just because God's people in the scriptures will do things that are sinful, and the Bible records it, does not mean that those are good things or righteous things to do. Jacob sins here. He makes a grave error marrying more than one woman. But God allows it. He's patient in this example. But what do we find but that Leah finds herself in this real predicament? I mean, what has her life become? As you read through Genesis 29, Leah has not said a single word until what we're about to read in verse 31. She hasn't had a say in any of this. Laban says, you wonder how it went down. The text doesn't tell us. But somewhere in there, Laban told his daughter, "We're going to trick him. And actually, you're going to go in there and you're going to marry him today." It's like, is this what Leah wanted when she was young? Did any of us imagine when we were young, we were dreaming about the life we would live? Did any of us think, maybe one day I'll be in a marriage that my spouse doesn't really love me? Did you ever think that's the dream? But that's where Leah finds herself. Not at all the life that any of us would dream of, but it's where she is. And for no reason of her own making, this is her life circumstance. And what do you do? Verse 31 says, "When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, and Rachel was barren. Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, 'Because the Lord has looked on my affliction, for now my husband will love me.' She conceived again and bore a son and said, 'Because the Lord has heard that I am hated, he has given me this son also.' She named his name Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son and said, 'Now this time my husband will be attached to me because I've borne him three sons.' And she named his name Levi." Three times in a row, Leah tries to play the game of competition with her sister. She wants the affection of her husband. It's not a sinful thing to want, to be loved by the people in our families, but she says, "I just have to earn it. I have to do something to get what I want in life." And she plays this horrible competition with her sister. Maybe if I can give my husband sons, he'll love me. It's pitiful. It's brutal what Leah goes through here. Three times she has a child. It's like this incredibly strenuous process. It's a life-changing event to have a child. And she does this three times, and each time the focus is on, maybe now he'll love me. Maybe now my husband will look at me the way he looks at Rachel. It's heart-wrenching to read this. What makes it heartbreaking for us is we know that none of this is going to work. Jacob doesn't turn to Leah and say, "How I have mistreated you. I should never have done this. I'm sorry, and I thank you for this, and I love you for this." Jacob is silent in these verses. Leah tries and tries to win his attention, his affection, and it doesn't work. And we do the same things in our life when we think that if we can just get the life situation that we wanted, if we can have that job we always dreamed of. If I can just make this much money or have a family like this other person has or a marriage like this other person has, then I'll be happy. Then I'll be living the dream. And you can play that game your whole life and it won't ever give you a winning ticket. There's no reward for that game. And Leah tries and tries, but it gets her nowhere. Only breaks her heart more. She has three sons. These three sons will become three of the tribes of Israel. And they're born in this bitter competition. But then Leah has a fourth son, and something changes. Read with me here in verse 35. Leah conceived again, and she bore a son. And she said, "This time I will praise the Lord." And she called his name Judah, and she ceased bearing children. Leah found herself in a life situation that she never wanted for herself. Life will put you in circumstances, sometimes of your own choices that lead you there, but sometimes something that is entirely not your fault, and suddenly you have to live with this your whole life. Leah's married to Jacob. She never want that. Someone else decided it for her, and now she's stuck in this marriage with a man who doesn't love her like he loves the other wife. And she tries to win his affection. She tries to compete to get satisfaction, and there's nothing for her. But she has a breakthrough when she quits looking around at other people to compete. And she quits looking at herself and the pity that comes with that, and she looks above. She has a fourth son, and she says, "This time I will praise the Lord." What did verse 31 say? Why did Leah start having children in the first place? Said the Lord remembered her. Jacob didn't think about Leah, not the way he thought about Rachel. And Rachel certainly didn't seem to care about Leah this way. And Laban, her father, didn't seem to care too much about Leah's feelings when he married her off to Jacob. No one seems to think about Leah. What is her life like? What is her struggle like? But the Lord is mindful of her. The reason that she has children is because God has blessed her. And that does not solve all of Leah's problems. The Lord did not snap his fingers and make Jacob love her. But the Lord was good to her. He was there with her. And in a moment of clarity, Leah realizes this and she says, this child is not about competing with other people. It's not about trying to make the life that I want. When I have this child, I remember that God has been good to me. This time I'll praise the Lord. It's incredible, the faith of Leah. You don't read about faith like that with Rachel. She's the beautiful daughter. She's the chosen daughter. She has the favorite son, Joseph. But Leah has this faith that only she could have in this sort of situation. Brothers and sisters, there are going to be times in our life where we're not satisfied with where we find ourselves. You look around and it's like, I wish I had fill in the blank. It could be whatever. I wish that I had a better job, or I wish I had a better home. I wish I had a better marriage. I wish I lived closer to my kids, or whatever it might be. There's all sorts of things where we find ourselves unsatisfied with our station in life. And the lesson, Leah, is that you will not solve it yourself by all your efforts and all your straining. You're not going to be happier whenever you have a home that looks like other people's homes, or a marriage that looks like someone else's marriage, or whatever it might be. You think, if I can just get it, if I can just have it, then I'll be happy. There are some things we cannot change in our lives. What will change for us, what will give us rest in our hearts, is when we realize that with all the things, with all the people that come and go, God remains the same. We sing the song, "Count Your Blessings." Leah had blessings. She had four blessings. Didn't mean her marriage was perfect. Didn't mean her marriage was good. There's a lot of things left wanting for Leah's life. But she looked, she had four children, four sons, because God remembered her. So what is your life like? Do you have everything you thought you would when you were 10 years old? Are there things that you're unsatisfied with? And perhaps those things will not change. But do you have the faith to look heavenward and say, the Lord has remembered me. The Lord has been good to me. Not just with the things that I have or the people in my life, although those surely count. We come together as God's people and we look at the cross and we say, God thought of me. When God set out to save sinners, he thought of me. He went there for me. For all of us. It takes the faith to stop looking around and comparing and to look at the Lord. Just a few takeaways, just really quickly for you this morning. We must not fight with one another. Jacob's home life becomes a mess in this passage because Rachel and Leah are constantly competing. We look around at people we know in our lives, whether it's our families or whether it's this church, we cannot have the same kind of competing where we want the things other people have or we mistreat other people because they're not exactly like us or their marriage is not like ours or their home is not like ours. We cannot have this bitterness. It tore Jacob's family apart. We cannot let that happen in our families, in our churches, wherever it might be. We cannot fixate on earthly success. You're never going to have enough money. You're never going to have enough stuff. You're never going to have just the right, formula of things in your life or people in your life. We have to remember what the Lord has done for us. I'll read one passage and then our lesson will be done. It's in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul writes to a church in Ephesus. There are people in this church who are married with families and children. There are people in this church who are rich enough to own slaves. There are people in this church in Ephesus who are poor enough to be slaves. And to each one of them, the Apostle Paul says this. Ephesians 1 and verse 11. In Christ, we have obtained an inheritance. The married and the single, the rich and the slaves, we have an inheritance. Having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory. Maybe you're very satisfied with your life, and praise God for that. Maybe your life is not at all what you hoped it would be. But remember what God has done for us, and the inheritance that awaits us in eternity. The years seem long while we live them now, but forever never ends. And for God, who has called us to salvation, who has told us the truth, the gospel that we've believed in, we have a rich inheritance. The Lord has been mindful of us. Let's thank Him and remember Him and endure in our lives. If you would, please pray with me.